condition was in.
Finding that out's a good mission for a Monday morning, and this is our agenda segment where we look forward to the week in Washington. And joining us is April Ryan, White House correspondent for American Urban Radio Networks. We welcome her back. April, good morning.
Good morning, John.
She's in Baltimore. Todd Spangler is the Washington correspondent for the Detroit Free Press. He's on the line from Washington. Todd, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, John.
And Todd, we want to say, you know, we are thrilled to be in your market. We go on the air in Detroit as of today. So we're doubly thrilled to have you with us, Todd.
Well, we're thrilled to have you.
All right, great. So let's talk about this agenda this week. April, let me begin with you. It seems as though Barack Obama was suggesting yesterday, and the sort of Washington agenda is shifting to the regular old budget. We had, you know, $787 billion of spending on the stimulus, but hey, we forgot about the regular old budget. Can you remind me again of the difference between what they did to spend 2 weeks ago and what they're going to be doing this week?
Well, this week, the White House is warning that we are facing some austere times, and they're trying to balance some things out with sacrifices and some investments. And the way we understand it, that the president is going to try in his budget that will be announced Thursday to cut the federal budget in half by the end of his first term. Now, he's also going to tax some people, and where the sacrifices are allegedly going to come from are from cuts to funding some projects with the war in Iraq.
So, Todd, does that mean that the response to, to make up for the spending on the stimulus package, the budget is going to be sort of anesthetized? I mean, can he really make it up? Does the math work out, Todd?
Oh, I think there'd be a long shot of actually making the math work out long term from here. But right now the president's in the business of raising expectations instead of trying to manage them down. I mean, he's trying to come out and say, not only can I do something about, you know, to stimulate the economy and to get the banks going and to do something about foreclosures, but I can also accomplish these things I set out for in the campaign, that I'm going to reform health care. At the same time, I'm going to keep an eye on deficit reduction. I mean, that he's having, you know, bipartisan members of Congress come over today to talk about what can we do long term. I don't think anybody really expects a lot to come out of that today in terms of the concrete steps that would go forward. But it looks like they're doing something, and he knows this is a lot about, you know, public expectations at this point.
Well, let's hear those expectations straight from the president's mouth. This is him speaking on his Saturday radio address.
That work begins on Monday, when I will convene a fiscal summit of independent experts and unions, advocacy groups, and members of Congress to discuss how we can cut the trillion-dollar deficit that we've inherited. On Tuesday, I will speak to the nation about our urgent national priorities. And on Thursday, I'll release a budget that's sober in its assessments, honest in its accounting, and lays out in detail my strategy for investing in what we need, cutting what we don't, and restoring fiscal discipline.
April, I should remind people that's actually not a radio address as much as it is an internet address. You can hear the sort of digital quality there. It's a whole new business with the Obama administration. Describe that summit that he's talking about. How important is that? And then the speech on Tuesday.
Well, what happens is this week he's trying to give the American public something that they can chew on. And it's interesting in talking to the White House sources about what's happening this week. They said, you know, it's kind of ironic. You know, he ran on the issue of the audacity of hope. And now he has to be very clear-eyed and giving the reality, the scope of the financial situation for this country. And today he deals with about 130 people at the White House talking about more long-term discussions on the economy and fixing the economy. And the final product is not inked yet. All the I's aren't dotted and the T's aren't all crossed, but they're hoping that, today won't, you know, be anything new to throw in there. But at the same time, they're still holding out to cross all the T's and dot all the I's for Thursday with the budget. And Tuesday, tomorrow, the president is going to have to find a balance to rally the people and the markets so the markets don't go down as he's talking about the reality of what's going on in the financial blueprint that he's going to give out, as well as just giving his statements to the joint session of Congress that basically the White House is looking at as something to give to the world because of the world economy and how the U.S. and the world economy play together. So he's got a lot on his hands right now this week.
Well, it's billed as a State of the Union-like speech, and I could actually coin a title from what April was saying there. Todd, let me try this out on you. Mr. Audacity of Hope is going to give a speech that would veer dangerously close to the reality of hopelessness. How does he avoid that?
Well, and Mr. Audacity of Hope better also realize that he's getting a lot of airtime right now. I mean, April's absolutely right. The balance here has to be not only trying to raise expectations, I mean, really trying to rally the markets and get people behind him. He also needs to be worried about talking a little bit too much, being out there so much and trying to instill so much hope without a lot happening in the markets, and that makes him appear ineffective at times. And I think it's way too early to make those sort of snap judgments about him. But, I mean, this speech tomorrow night is a major, major speech for any new president. And in this economy, it doesn't get any bigger than this. He really needs to hopefully see something coming out of the markets on Wednesday to make this seem that he's really making a difference.
Well, April, let me throw that to you. Is there danger of Obama fatigue somewhere out there on the horizon?
Yes, there is. Everyone's talking about it. I just harken back to a couple of weeks ago when he had those five major network news conferences. It was like he was in the Oval Office, and he had each one back-to-back. One anchor person or news person would get out of the chair, and another one would come in. And it was basically the same thing over and over again. And it was so interesting, and that was the time when you had a big controversy about one of his cabinet appointments. But even before then, he was giving interviews back-to-back. He had the press conference, and you have to be concerned with that because you don't want Obama fatigue. You don't want him to be too oversaturated in the market. Yes, there are issues going on, but you know he has to find a balance so people will listen to what he has to say instead of just saying, oh, here he goes again. So you want that winning picture, and you want to see him on a winning side. But when he continues to talk constantly about the negatives, Bill Clinton is right. He has to find a way to say it, to bring hope, and bring back that audacity of hope that people wanted during the campaign and people put him in the office for.
All right. Well, we will tune in for that on Tuesday, and we'll probably be assessing the effectiveness of that speech on Wednesday morning. But let's shift gears a little bit. We were hearing all through the weekend from governors around the nation some of the aftershocks, I think, from the lack of bipartisanship on the stimulus package. Listen to this, and then I want to ask you about it.
The bigger philosophical point is this. I just have a fundamental disagreement with this package.
This, to me, is not about philosophical theory. This is about real people.
At times it sounds like the Soviet grain quotas of Stalin's time.
People want that help.
There's some we will not take in Mississippi.
So you better believe I'm going to take every dollar that is coming to Michigan. I'll take their dollars, too.
Wait a minute. We're over here, too. We'll take it, too.
Now, Todd Spangler, I'll begin with you because that was your governor, Governor Grunholm, there talking about taking the stimulus money and really needing to get that delivered to communities all around your state. But generally, it seemed like some of these governors, particularly the Republican governors, are in a tough situation. They definitely have resources to give to their people, but they also want to look like they're ideologically in line with the congressional Republicans who didn't vote for this.
Well, they're having the Republican governors are having a split. I mean, it's pretty clear amongst themselves. I mean, you have governors like Schwarzenegger in California who they're not going to turn down anything at this point. I mean, their situation is as dire almost as it is in a place like Michigan. Maybe not quite that bad. But, you know, and then you have people like Haley Barbour and Bobby Jindal who are trying to walk more of an ideological line, who honestly, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, that they believe that this is not the way to stimulate their economy, and they want to stick to their guns on that. But as you heard, I mean, Governor Granholm, things are not good in a place like Michigan, and I think there are lots of governors out there who would say, listen, if they don't want the money, we'll take it.
April, how can any governor, and we're running out of time here, but how can any governor not spend in this environment with, approaching 10% unemployment and say we're saving the country?
Todd is absolutely right. You know, last night I was in the room, I was in the dining room when the president gave his toast to the governors. And ironically, Republican governor from California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, was sitting front and center right next to First Lady Obama. Okay, so he is there. He is in dire need. And then we go to a place like New Orleans, a city that needs the money, and their governor is saying, hey, you know, let's take a look at this. I may or may not, at the end of the day, you have to look at the fact that there's a need. And you can play partisan politics for a while, but when your cities are in need, Detroit, you know, again, the state of Michigan, a lot of manufacturing states around the country.
Well, that's fine.
You know, many states are in trouble.
That posturing is
the money.
That posturing is fine for the dinner parties, but when these governors get home, the party is going to be over. April Ryan, White House correspondent for American Urban Radio Networks, and Todd Spangler of the Detroit Free Press. Thanks for the agenda.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.